Hi, this is Nate Nuorda with the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. Today, we're interviewing
Newt. My name's Newt. My band is called Infernal Suplex Machine.
Yeah, that's great, Newt. Tell us about what local band you're listening to.
I really like The Scarecrow Show and Canada Carpool. But I really want to tell you about the new Metallica record.
That's not a local record.
You should know about that record.
I'm sorry, I don't.
What? How can you be a local music podcaster without an encyclopedic knowledge of the last 15 years of America's most overrated shit machine?
What?
Kirk and James cut their hair for you. They cut their hair for you!
The struggling studios in Buffalo, New York. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, left, rights,
and scamming local bands because they had it coming.
Of the local music scene. I am Ryan Gurnett, and blah, 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 comment about the cold weather.
And I'm Nate Nuorda. Insert additional comment about the weather.
Today on episode 25, friend of the podcast Cameron Thiebold from Of Night and Light joins us as we dig back into the trenches with the Final Five agency and talk about their continued scam artistry. We'll talk about Pocket Vinyl's recent local performance, and we will talk to Danuja Beats, otherwise known as Diana Nowak Riffle, the drummer for The Current, who also does a lot of local session work and a lot of teaching, so I'm sure she'll have a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
It says we're supposed to talk about your hernia, Ryan. So how's your hernia?
Okay.
Hey, Ryan, how's your hernia?
How come you're sitting funny, Ryan? Ah.
So I had a hernia repair surgery about 2 weeks ago. And don't get it if you don't have to. I would say, you know, if you don't have a hernia, don't get the repair surgery. I started doing a timeline to figure out where did this come from, because at some point, in September, it really started hurting. But before that, it was noticeable. It looked like my belly button was turning into an Audi. So something before that caused it to start rupturing. And I traced the lines back. I kind of went back and retraced my steps. I am almost positive I gave myself a hernia singing in Broski for the Land Lottery. I very specifically remember a band practice where I was yelling so loud that I was on my knees, like bent over because of the amount of back pain and strain I could feel coming from my back from the way I did that. And I don't know if that's worth talking about, but I kind of like bragging about that because that's fucking...
And you went that hard at a practice.
Yes. We're talking about practice.
Yeah. So for the live show, what else did you damage?
Well, the live show was 15 minutes long. Practice was 2 hours. there was a practice or two where, like, afterwards, like, the next day I would be, I mean, I get sick if I overexert myself anyway, but, like, you could feel, like, the muscles in my back and all the stuff around my diaphragm just not used to it.
Right.
So, I don't know. I thought that was funny. I don't know if there's any discussion else if you had.
I've never had a hernia, so I can't. What was the worst pain? Was it before or after?
Oh, after. The first 2 days afterwards are brutal. It felt like a horse kicked me in the stomach.
Ooh.
Like
I don't know what that feels like either. That's like that's even more nebulous than a hernia surgery.
You are correct. You are Oh man, what can I hit you with?
Being pregnant
would make you. I hope being pregnant doesn't feel like that for, like, a lot of it. They sent robots in. I got 3 incisions down on my left side. They sent a robot in, took care of it. It's still a little sore, but...
What is, like, do you have a go-to hernia recovery album? Like,
ooh, I'm trying to think of what I listen to.
What's the best record to listen to while you recover from hernia surgery?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Brian Eno's Music for Airports.
Yes.
especially that track one with the piano. Mm. Oh man, I used to take that to work with me when I was like discovering new music, and I remember taking that album. I almost fell asleep at my computer listening to that track.
Yeah.
It was so relaxing.
That album was just so ahead of its time. What is like the 70s that came out?
I'll say late 70s.
And like I could listen to that, and it's what I'm trying to say. It sounds like it could come out yesterday and still be relevant. Like it hasn't aged a day.
Sure. And for our listeners not familiar with Brian Eno, he makes a soundscape. I mean, he's a big time producer. He's done a lot of
atmospheric. I would hope we don't have any listeners not familiar with Brian Eno.
I feel like we.
If you're unfamiliar with Brian Eno, please unsubscribe now.
Or start following Brian Eno is really the inverse of that.
Get off of our page.
You go away.
Enough small talk. I mean, I think you can feel the crispiness in the air, the energy that's here.
Yeah.
You know what the audience wants. You know what I want.
You know what America wants.
Yeah.
It's time to find out once and for all who's the better drummer, Will Ferrell, or the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chad Smith. You guys ready to do this? Let's bring out the drums right here. Let's see what we have to do. Seem about right? All right, guys, you know the rules. This is a traditional drum off.
This is traditional What's drum that? Off? This is a traditional drum off?
Tonight we're gonna go by traditional rules. This is a traditional drum off. You each get four solos. Whoever whacks, smacks, and slaps the skins the best wins. So without further ado, let the drum off begin!
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Let's talk about some previous shows that have happened.
Oh, okay.
I saw Hamilton yesterday. It is the best musical I've ever seen. The cast was phenomenal. All the music was great. And I was actually, the lighting, it's real, very simple, but the way it just sets like this awesome atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's got like, the stage rotates at 2 points and, like it was worth the hassle to get the tickets. It was worth the money for the tickets. By the time this airs, it's probably too late for anyone to go out and get them. But like, yeah, it's awesome. It's worth, it's very rare I see a musical especially and say like, this is worth the hype, but this is absolutely worth the hype to me.
And I can't remember a musical that like has gotten as much hype in the past like decade or more.
Oh yeah, no.
Like,
Avenue Q got some hype for a while.
Well, like Book of Mormon, but I feel like
that's big.
Like a one tier below this. I feel like that didn't get as much hype.
Yeah, right? Like, it's definitely funny, but it's not as just like good Mike quality music.
Mike Pence didn't get booed out of Book of Mormon.
I
assuming
bet he
went to go see it.
Yeah. No, Book of Mormon's coming next year, and so is Spamalot. I'm actually kind of excited.
Yeah,
about
Book
those.
Of Mormon, I'd like to see. So, how much did this event cost?
I want to say about $86 a ticket. So
bad.
Yeah, no,
not bad.
It was a real nice night.
And did you know how much of the play musical did you know going into it?
My wife actually played. She was like, "I want to get you into this. I want you to know the songs. I'm gonna play the album." And I listened to it. And I'm like, "Oh, this is fine," you know. But then, like, after I saw it, I'm like, "I wish you would have let me see it, because seeing them do it on the stage with everything that's happening is just so much more impressive going in."
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like there's two schools of thought with that. It's not, I don't know, because I think for a normal show, like just a band on a stage, it will always be better if you know the music already. But does the same apply to a musical? Like, do you think everyone, I don't know, should you listen to a musical beforehand in the same way that if you know you're going to see a band? At least I usually prep for it. I don't know if you guys, I'm not going to pay money to go see a band, or like if I know I'm going to see a band, I want to like familiarize myself with their music.
They figured out how to get old white people listening to rap music.
Right.
They've done it. It's all over from here. So, and then in addition to that, on November 17th at the Pussy Willow Gallery, a.k.a. the Law Office of Heidi Jones, we had Pocket Vinyl come to town, and we had a great show. Astra Beulah played, Shannon Vanderlyn played, Nate played.
Yep.
Astrobula, he's fun as always. He's just like a super nice, affable guy. I love working with him. Mm-hmm. Shannon Vanderlyn, which I found out I've been pronouncing it wrong. She continues to have one of my favorite voices of just anyone in the area. And Nate appeared for a little while with a clarinet and a saxophone and some other stuff. So you played a great set too, Nate. What'd you guys think of the night? What'd you guys think of Pocket Vinyl?
It was dope. It's fucking dope. Pocket Vinyl, I went in blind. I know that you're a fan, Ryan, and Noah of Astrobula was telling me how big of a fan that he is. So expectations were high, and they were exceeded.
Awesome.
I think the concept of what they do is really cool. They kind of redefine what a musical duo is.
Yes.
In that one of them doesn't actually even perform the music. She paints. Well, what is his name?
Eric.
Well, Eric sings. And I thought it was great. The music, they're just like really, really fun, catchy jams.
How about you, Will?
Yeah, no, I'm a fan now too. I mean, I went in kind of blind as well. I knew you were a big fan, and I was interested in seeing them, and I was interested in watching Elizabeth paint. I was sitting right in the front row, and I think Eric had his piano probably 2 feet away from me, and he was banging out those chords
like
he had a full band behind him, and the energy was really high. And, with Shannon before that, Shannon was great, too. That was my first time seeing her. I really loved her voice as well. I thought she had a great, I didn't even want to say, like, I was going to kind of say Ben Foldsy, because that's kind of what it was like when I heard her.
There's a few of her songs that definitely
hit. Yeah, but seeing
that.
Her live.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pocket Vinyl is Ben Foldsy.
Well, I felt more about that. Like watching him, I was like, wow, this is more Ben Foldsy than I thought Shannon was going to be. Shannon was a little bit more like a little Tori Amos-y, I guess, a little bit better. But they were both great. And Pocket Vinyl, they definitely got a fan in me now.
And Nate, you put on a good show too. Who was your accompanying player?
That was the incomparable Alec Miller.
Okay. Yeah, he was really cool. It was nice. It was cool seeing you with, I don't know if you've, played like done a duo like that?
Yeah, the past, not the Ironworks show because that was super last minute, but before that, I think like most of the shows since my album came out, I've played with him. He played at the release.
Awesome.
Full band stuff. He's been playing with me. So.
And then there was one last show I wanted to talk about, and that is on November 21st, me and for a little while, Will, we hung out at the Tudor Lounge, and I was able to check out Scarecrow Show and On the Cinder. Will could only hang around for On the Cinder because shows don't start on time. I thought they both put on great sets. On the Cinder is a great three-piece punk band. Kind of reminds me of some of Rancid's earlier work. Real nice, just good clean street punk. And then Scarecrow Show just impresses me every time I see them. They're just so energetic and charismatic, and it just seems like everything I like watching a musician where it just seems like everything they do is easy. Like, it's just not even, like, that's what they do. And I love that. And I always complain about Tudor's bathrooms. They were clean as hell. Like, spotless. So
yeah.
If I'm going to say shit when it goes wrong, I'm going to be nice about it when it goes better. Will, do you have any thoughts about that evening?
No, Tudor was great, and all I can say is that the bands had a really good crowd support, and I think that kind of turned a regular show into an exceptional show, and I think they had a lot of good crowd support there, and people were really into it, and they got some moshers out there, and it was a fun night, and they sounded good from where I was sitting. Tudor Lounge isn't known for having the greatest sound all the time when you're on stage.
It did sound really good now that you
mentioned
it.
It did. And I'm not really ever used to being off the stage on that. So to sit in the audience this time and really kind of check out a loud band, it didn't sound bad. It sounded pretty good there. So props to the sound guy, and it was a good night.
Yeah, and props to Joe Kent for putting... I wish I could have stayed for Dreadnecks, too, at the end. Like, that whole lineup was great. But that place, I've never seen Tudor that packed.
It was good.
So, yeah.
This is Astrobula, and you're listening to AllWNY.com. Woo!
Take notes, Chadwick. And that's how it's done. All right. Funny man! Well, looks like baby learned how to play the drums. But can baby do this? I just blew my mind.
You just blew your mind?
I just blew my mind.
All right.
All right. Welcome back to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. I'm really excited to be here with Danusha Beats, local drummer extraordinaire, and just all around like super cool person.
Aw.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just start off. I know you and I have known each other and jammed together for a long time. Mm-hmm. But for the people who don't know, what do you do?
I am a drummer.
Yeah. So you hit stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit stuff.
But, you know, not just any drummer.
What do you mean?
You're Danusha Beats.
Oh, my God.
You have a reputation.
Oh, really?
In the Buffalo music scene. Yeah.
Oh, bye, Mom.
Bye. But yeah, I think either just from you playing out or like you have a pretty solid like Facebook presence and you always post drum covers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who like I see at random shows and they're like, oh yeah, I know Danusha Beats.
Oh wow. Yeah. See, I don't know this stuff.
Well, that's why I'm here to tell you.
I'll be moping at home like, oh, nobody likes me.
I think that is...
Nobody asks me to play.
I do think there's something universal about that feeling. I think that is part of what it is to be a musician or just more broadly an artist. You're crippled with self-doubt.
Oh, yeah.
90% of the time.
You're like bipolar
and then,
half the time.
Yeah. You know, one day you're like, wow, I'm the greatest musician on the face of the planet. I'm a genius. And then the next day you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Or like 10 people could like your stuff and then like you're like, why did that one person not like my post or something? And then it like crashes your whole world. Yeah, I think we all feel that way even if we're not musicians.
How do you, have you found any ways to kind of cope with that artistic anxiety?
Oh, man.
Coffee?
It's on and off, you know, like I think it's having a perspective every day of what you do it for. And that Buffalo is not the only place where you can share your music and it's not your whole world and you have more to life than that.
And I think that patience has a lot to do with it too. You know, you just got to keep remembering like, you know, it might not happen today, but there's time. And I think a good example of that is that you texted me and a couple other people that we usually jam with this week because, I guess 2 years ago now, a video that we, a live session that we played together like 2 years ago, somehow got like 12,000 views on YouTube. When like every other video from that project probably didn't even break 1,000.
Yeah.
So stuff That's like crazy. That always feels good, right? Like
definitely.
Yeah.
It always feels good.
Yeah. Is that, that's not why you drum though. Like imagine if literally nobody in the entire world listened or heard you, would you still drum?
I definitely would.
You definitely would.
I love to play my drums. It's
right.
How I express myself.
So deep down, you know, the reason you started, it's for you.
But probably if it's all I did, I think I would be bored because I love to like feel energy from other people and collaborate with people.
Right.
Like if I didn't play music with anyone and I just played to tracks by myself, I think I'd get depressed even though I love my drums.
Right. But I'm sure, I mean, that's how a lot of people start, right? You kind of start just like in a bedroom or just with yourself and then you kind of start slowly expanding.
Definitely.
So how long have you been playing drums? When did you start?
In March, it'll be 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, I started when I was 14.
You started when you were 5 years old?
No.
You're not.
And I'll be 34 in February.
And also, I'm sure, like, being a female drummer has been hard as well. Kind of like you have to prove yourself a little more, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely.
People don't take you seriously.
People don't think you can play. No. And then you have to, like, prove it constantly. And then you get mad. And
have you encountered, like, a lot of that in the Buffalo music scene?
Well, with social media and showing my videos, it's not as bad.
Right.
Because they kind of get a glimpse of who you are before they even meet you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, yeah, like, I'll show up somewhere and they don't know me. And just the way they treat you, or they don't take you seriously, or, like,
yeah,
comments they'll make. Like, the sound guy will be like, oh, yeah, play that, you know, drum, little girl, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Weird things. Or you'll go to the music store and they'll be like, oh, are you buying this for your boyfriend? I'm like, no.
Yeah. But as soon as they hear you, they
yeah,
know.
I guess they take me more serious.
They know you got the beats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what really inspired you to start playing? Do you come from a musical family?
Yeah, my dad plays accordion. He's from Poland, and he always fiddled around on his keyboard too growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So every night I'd fall asleep to him playing the accordion.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. And I think I get that passion for music from him. But just listening to music, parents playing music, or friends of them, you know, blasting classic rock or different 80s music, and I just, like, really got into it. And I just somehow fell in love with music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know why some of us gravitate towards music or other things, but
yeah,
that's just what I loved.
Yeah. What pulled you towards drums specifically? Because if you're, you know, jamming to a lot of classic rock, you could have just as easily picked up a guitar or a bass.
Yeah, for some reason I had a connection with drums. I would watch, you know, concerts of, like, Phil Collins or Queen, and seeing the drummer and the way he would hit the drums, and, like, I would just always get goosebumps, you know, hearing the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, an emotional feeling.
And I'm sure, like, there's something, I mean, it's just so, it's probably the most, it is the most physical instrument, right?
Yeah. Like, I love, I mean, I don't know what it's like with other instruments, but to, like, there's so much dynamics that go into playing drums, like,
mm-hmm,
all the sounds you can make, and playing soft or loud, or all the rhythms and, you know, sounds you can make. Just, I love it, and, like, I love that I can connect with my instrument physically that way.
And it's almost something, like, the only other instrument being, like, voice, something that you can kind of carry with you. Like, if you're sitting at school all day, you can just kind of, like, tap
yeah,
out beats with your pencils and,
definitely,
and practice in the car on your steering wheel or anything,
mm-hmm,
like that.
I used to get yelled at in math class,
yeah,
for tapping my pencils.
Yeah. So, like, Phil Collins would probably have been your favorite. Do you
definitely
have
he had those big monstrous fills.
Yeah.
In the, I heard In the Air Tonight, in that big solo, even though it sounds so simple, it was just, like, it really hit you.
Right.
And I love that about drums, that it can really hit you like that.
So you start, sorry, what age did you start playing drums?
14.
14. When, do you remember, like, your first gig?
Yeah, my first gig was with a band that I found online, WesternNewYorkMusic.com.
Yeah.
And actually, I met my husband in that band.
Yeah.
And we had our gig. I forgot where it was. Like, someplace that's not open anymore. Like, Quincy Street, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where that is. Maybe Wasanka.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played our originals there. And that was my first gig at, like, 18.
That's still 4 years.
Yeah.
I feel like most people should probably spend more time than that.
Definitely. But it's a good learning experience to play with other people.
Yeah.
Whether it's in, like, a school band. But just playing in, like, a rock band with someone is really, it's a great experience, because you learn to play with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you get better at your own instrument from that.
And since then, you've been in a whole bunch of other bands.
Yeah.
Do you keep count, or you just kind of...
Sometimes I forget.
There's been a couple, probably, like...
Only a couple major ones.
Give an estimate.
Well, it depends what counts, you know? Like, I do a lot of worship stuff.
Yeah.
I've played in different churches and bands. We played in a recovery band together,
mm-hmm,
Dave and I, and we had that rock band that we had in our early 20s. Had Pangea, played with Grace Stumberg, and we had a band together called Chameleon's Coat with Jim Wynn on bass. So I don't know, at least, you know, 10 bands in the past 10 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. A mixture of like original and cover music. So as a drummer, do you prefer originals or cover music? Because it seems like there wouldn't be that as much difference as the drummer in a band. Because if it's a cover, you could still change the beat and like put your own spin on it. If it's an original, you're creating the beat.
I think it's more fun to play original.
Okay. Just because you have
total
freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you could play a cover and still add your own fills and make it fun because you're just going to play the same songs over and over and they get boring. But, you know, playing original music, you have control over it and no one's going to be like, oh, this song isn't supposed to sound this way.
Yeah.
Because it's what you wrote, so they can't say that.
Yeah, I think there's like more of like a bonding that happens between a band that writes music together.
Yeah.
Rather than just like practicing covers every week.
Oh, definitely.
It's just a good experience to kind of like connect with people.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and listen to one of Danusha Beats' songs from her band, The Current. This is Dirty Bird Special. All right. That was great. Super, super cool groove.
Thank you.
Strike me as a drummer that puts the groove above everything else, like above your own ego. You're not somebody who's trying to do like the craziest fills and like solo every song and show how great you are. Like you always put the groove first.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I love to do, and that's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Is the feel of the song and grooving. I mean, I think that's what drums are all about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can be flashy and stuff, but that's not what... If that's not what the music calls for,
yeah,
you know, it's more just like for soloing and...
Mm-hmm. But that's what I love about your playing is that you are flashy, but in like this like super cool, nonchalant way.
I'm glad you think I'm slightly flashy.
What's that?
I'm glad you think I'm slightly flashy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, anyone could like listen to you and be like, wow, she's, you know, really good. And you could tell that you've put the time in. But you like add these intricacies throughout the song, you know, it's not just during a fill.
You gotta get some flavor.
It's not just during a solo. It's just like during the verse of a random song, and you're still like doing cool shit.
Like, it's funny though, because like in the drummer world, like we're always well, not all of us, but everyone posts videos of them playing, and it's always like flashy stuff and fills and chops. And so sometimes you put this pressure on yourself, like, oh man, I suck because I can't do these crazy things.
Yeah.
But then like musicians, like a guitarist or piano player would be like, oh, I love that you don't do that because, you know, and it's like, whoa, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, what do I focus on here? But
yeah,
I think at the end of the day, the groove is important, you know, and that's what pays the bills.
Yeah. It's funny. We had a conversation. I remember, I think we had a segment about like, oh, Ryan puts on this, he has this segment called Fretboard Feud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Family Feud, but with music topics. And one of the categories recently when we played was like top five or like most annoying things your drummer does.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing was playing while like the other band members are trying to talk.
Oh,
and it was
yeah.
funny because...
I'm guilty of that.
No, well, let me finish. The story, Will, our other host here on the podcast, has jammed with you once or twice.
Yes.
And he came back because he knew that I knew you, so we were talking about you the next show, and he was like blown away. He was like, I've never played with a drummer who didn't play while we were trying to talk. So
I've played enough to learn
impressed.
That that's wrong.
Because I'm sure, I mean, that's hard, right? Like, growing up, or just in general, like, how do you deal with the loudness of your instrument? Like, being a kid and practicing, like, did your parents get pissed at you?
No, I think for a long time they didn't let me play drums. Even though I wanted to, because they thought it would be loud. And I saved up my money for, like, 3 years.
Wow.
I mean, because I wanted to play drums way before I was 14.
Yeah, yeah. A struggle.
But there's ways to, like, I mean, I would play on pillows before I got a drum set. And, you know, it's all in how you play. You don't have to play loud.
Yeah.
It's all in the drummer.
Yeah. When you were, like, kind of first starting, were there any local drummers that you really admired or that made a big impact on you?
I used to go see this, like, Prague fusion band, Gamelon.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Reinhardt was in there.
Yeah.
Who, you know, most musicians in the area know of him. Yeah, I just fell in love with his playing. And his style, and it was music that I never heard before. Until then, I just listened to, like, rock music or different things, and then I heard Gamelon, and I was introduced to this whole world of this crazy weird music with time signature changes, and so I ended up taking lessons with him, so that really changed my life a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome to, like, be able to, you know, take lessons from, I mean...
Yeah.
A Buffalo legend, basically.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, they're
he
all
was
in
so
the,
humble, too.
They're all in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was definitely up there for me. There's a lot of drummers now that I know of. Back then, there wasn't, like, Facebook and stuff, so
yeah.
I wasn't too familiar with all the musicians in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one that I saw live and the one that I just really started following.
So you're a full-time drummer.
Yeah.
That's something we don't see a lot of full-time musicians on this show.
No.
Yeah, the struggle is real.
Well, the struggle is real. I'm also married, so we have dual income.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that helps.
Yeah. And
because it is tough,
stuff,
even if you teach or anything, it's always going to be hard. You don't have insurance if you're a musician.
Yeah. So that, I mean, how long have you been doing that full-time?
2 years now.
2 years now. What kind of, you know, pushed you over the edge? Was this something that you were thinking about for a long time and then you just finally made the leap?
Yeah, I was in a job for like 7 years and it just, like everything else, sometimes it just doesn't go anywhere after that and it's not challenging anymore. And my whole life, I always wanted to be a musician. And because of my husband encouraging me and some friends, because of encouragement of everyone to just do what I love, I did it, you know?
Yeah.
It was different than, like, maybe being 18 and your parents saying, oh, you shouldn't do that, and being more discouraging about it. But now, at an older age, I feel like I can make my own decisions, and through their encouragement, I just thought I'd give it a shot. So
the name of the podcast is The Struggle Is Real,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because it's about how musicians, it's tough. You know, it's hard. It's harder than ever to just get people's attention more than anything. Like, it's not even about getting their money anymore, because no one's even going to pay for your music. It's literally like just getting their time. For you in the field that you're in the instrument that you're in, what do you think is, like, maybe not the biggest struggle, but like the most profound obstacle that you've had to overcome in your career as a drummer?
I always think, like, man, if I played guitar and I sang, I could just, like, gig every day.
Yeah.
I could go out to a coffee shop, or places are looking for duos now and people who sing and songwriters, and could make $100 or $200 a day, and that'd be great. But, you know, I need somebody to play with.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
So what is, like, your favorite kind of music to play? Are you all over the board? Do you gravitate towards specific sounds or genres?
I mean, I like to play a lot of different things, but my favorite stuff would be like grooving music or funk music. I really fell in love with funk music when I was younger. I like fusion, a lot of instrumental stuff, jazz, anything weird too.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your newest band, The Current.
Yeah, we're a band. We all live in Niagara Falls, and The Current is kind of a name that came from, like, kind of use it as like the current of the water, or the current from the electricity, from, you know, the Power Vista, to tie that in.
And
Niagara Falls,
like,
band.
And being modern, right? Like the current, like it's current.
Sure, yeah.
The music's happening, like, right then.
Yeah.
Your sound is cutting edge. That's how I interpreted it.
That's cool. Thank you.
So how many members in The Current?
Right now we have 4 members.
So funk, I believe?
Yeah, it's funk. Instrumental. We dabble in other things, play some weird stuff, but we're looking for some horn players, and we're down for backing up vocalists too. We have a Christmas show coming up that we're doing with a local vocalist, Sharon Bailey. So
that sounds cool.
Yeah,
where is that at?
The Live NF Makers Market downtown, where the old Niagara Gazette is.
Very cool. Do you have a date and time for that?
Yeah, December 8th, 11 to 2.
One thing I noticed, and one thing I really was hoping that you'd be here for when I came in to talk to you about, was I love your drum videos on social media.
Thanks.
I think are great, and I think you do as good a job marketing yourself as I think any local drummer does through those. If you're gonna recommend to someone how to make their own, like, cool drum videos, is there anything in particular you do set out to do with, like, the camera or any of that? That,
I mean, when I first started, I just had my phone and I would post beats on Instagram, and then I invested in, like, a GoPro and then just a, you know, like a camera, a Canon. But yeah, just start with your phone, even just to get it out there, because sometimes it's hard to just put your playing out there. When I first started, I was so nervous to post my first video. Like, oh, what is, you know, does this look stupid? Are people going to make fun of me or judge me? And then once I did it and you see other drummers doing it, it's just fun to share what you do.
Sure.
And if people don't like it, oh well.
What are, like, some of your favorite venues in the Falls?
Well, we played at the Wagon Wheel recently. I feel like a lot of people play there. I don't know of too many other ones. There's Evening Star.
Evening Star, home of the All WNY Music Awards, coming in January, which Diana is nominated for Best Drummer.
Of course she is. What are you doing that your snare drum sound terrible?
I remember working in a recording studio and a guy bringing in his Chad Smith Red Hot Chili Peppers snare drum. And he's sitting there hitting it, and it just sounds terrible. And he's like, I'll try something else. And he keeps cranking it up. And it's like, dude, right behind you is there's a snare drum that I use to record all the time, and it sounds great. And he's like, no, man, I got to use my chest. And it just, it's not. Mm. And, like, even my own personal record, like, I've spent, like, up to, like, an hour and a half trying to get a snare drum sound right. Like,
really?
Like,
yeah.
Like, as far as the toms go, like, ugh, whatever. But that snare, like, for me, that snare has to be, like, crisp and poppy. Otherwise, yeah. It's, you know, you don't want it, like I had one recording where it's just, it sounds like you're punching a wall every time you're hitting
the
snare.
Oh, man.
So.
Is there anything else you wanted to plug? Other bands that you play with?
Yeah, Upper Story Studios. My husband and I have a space at the NAC, the Niagara Arts and Cultural Center in Niagara Falls. So we do recording in there, full band or any audio. We do video and we do photography.
Yeah, so.
Full service.
All your needs.
Yeah. Very cool.
What's the website? Is there a website where people can find rates or...
UpperStoryStudios.com.
Easy enough.
Awesome. And if people want to learn more about you, where's the best place to find you?
DanushaBeats.com or...
DanushaBeats.com.
Search DanushaBeats on Instagram or YouTube.
Or Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook too.
Anywhere.
Diana, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it. Be sure to catch the current December 8th.
Yes.
And yeah.
See what you got. You know what? What do you got? What do you
that
got?
That was cute. Do you play for the lukewarm Chili Peppers? Roll the credits. Stop the show.
Hi, this is Jake.
And this is Nick.
From Ghostpool, and you're listening to the Struggle is Real podcast on allwny.com.
All right. On the last episode of the podcast, I had a fun time going to war with the Final Five Agency, which is a group, or maybe just one, scam artist. And it wasn't more than a week after the episode aired that it looks like they're at it again. So I am joined by friend of the podcast, Cameron, from Of Night and Light. And, well, let's start with this, Cameron. What happened?
Well, we had a show booked at Stamps, and it seemed from the beginning like it was going to be a little weird. Like, it was booked by some person who named Josh Roa Martinez, who messaged the band, or messaged Stamps through the Facebook page, asking for a bunch of dates. Greg gave them a couple options. They narrowed it down, and they're like, yeah, we'll do this one. And Greg gave them the agreement that they needed to pay the full rental. He had asked for a deposit, and they said, oh, you know, we're like a national agency, and it's hard to get the money there at like beforehand, but we'll make sure it's all paid in full the day of. Come the night of the show, there's only one confirmed act that we know of. Claude Romance is on the bill, but it says with others to TBA. Claude comes in, he hands us an envelope full of unsold tickets. There's no one else there, no representative of the agency. This Josh Roa Martinez guy, as we were told, was supposedly coming in from Texas for the show. And then all these other artists start showing up, and it turns out they were just asked by Claude to join the bill because, as I'm understanding, there was nobody else confirmed for the show. And him being a little bit smarter guy was like, I don't want to play to just nobody. And if this agent's not going to book it, I'm going to get people here. We're trying to get a hold of this Josh guy. And it turns out he's trying to pin the deposit for the rental on the artist, saying the artist is responsible to pay for it with the ticket sales. And that if there's not enough in there, that the show needs to be canceled. And we're already an hour after doors at this point. We already have artists in the room. Some of them brought some people. We're like, we're not canceling the show. And it still doesn't negate your obligation to pay this fee. And we're not going to put it on an artist who didn't book the show. They're your artists. You booked the show. He was arguing with Chuck, the sound guy, saying, no, it's not getting paid any other way. If there's not enough money, you need to cancel. And we just decided to go through with the show at that point. Like, everybody's already there. The whole event staff is there. We have a bartender. The security's in. Like, what are we going to do? Cancel, send everybody home, all the artists home? It'd be stupid. So we went on with the show. Chuck tried to get a hold of this guy again about the money, and just no response. And he just kept not responding. And I was like, well, who is this guy? What's his company? And he tells me the Final Five agency. So I looked him up on Facebook, went to all their upcoming events, and decided to message every single band and every venue on their list to warn them what happened, sent them the screenshots and everything. And lo and behold, I messaged this band called Page Nine. And they responded very strangely, like very supportive of the Final Five, saying something to the extent of, we've always had great experiences. Like, if you continue with this and you reach out to other artists we've worked with, we're going to take legal action. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And I kind of had a hunch, like, to check their members listing. And sure enough, Joshua Martinez is a member of the band. So as it turns out, it seems I was speaking to him. So I just realized I'm speaking to Josh's band. And then he's like, oh, nice try, man. There's like more than one Josh in the world. I guess it escapes you only, Cameron. And I screenshotted his profile and the screenshots from the messages with Stamps. And I was like, oh, more than one Josh Roa Martinez living in Texas. then he tried to say that my beef was with Josh Alejandro, the one who books the books for the company. And that this is where things got real interesting. So if you want to just explain again a little bit of how you got involved with the Final Five.
No problem. Yeah, so I responded to an ad on Craigslist looking for a paid internship for someone to book shows. They wanted me to work for 7 to 10 hours compiling a database of 50 to 70 local musicians, including their contacts. And as soon as he said this, I knew something was wrong. Their pay requirements. But yeah, so that happened to me. And then I sold him. I'm like, I'm willing to work for you. I'm not going to work for free. Like, and when he mentioned the database, I'm like, I have a giant database of local bands already. I'm not just giving it to you. That'd be foolish. And I'm really happy I didn't, because I could have been the guy who booked that show without knowing any better.
As I said, this is where it got interesting. I made a post, a public post. I shared it to all the DIY music groups I'm in, which is quite a few, seeing as how we just came off our tour that we booked independently. I wanted to make sure anybody who could possibly run into this guy knows what they're getting into. I saw Ryan commented about how he had just talked about the Final Five on his last podcast. So I went and gave it a listen and messaged him and said, hey, man, can you forward me any of the emails you had? So he did. And the emails were from Josh Alejandro. So the interesting thing about the emails was that there was links in the bottom, and he said, come check out my bands. This is where I started. And I clicked it, and both the bands listed Josh Roa Martinez as a member. So at that point, I knew that this was the same guy, and he was using an alias. And it just gets weirder, because then on Twitter, I wanted to take a screenshot of his profile, and I noticed that somebody I was following that follows my band also followed him, and I didn't want to get their name in the screenshot, so I just like unfollowed them for a second, took the screenshot, followed them again. And then I messaged this girl and said, like, hey, just so you know, like, this was my experience with this guy. I'm just curious, like, what you know. And she was just blown away. She was like, oh, my gosh, Josh, I've known him for years. He used to send me his, like, CDs for free. I can confirm that he uses both names, because at first he added me on Facebook as Josh Alejandro. And then once we started talking, he told me to add him on his personal page, which was Josh Roa Martinez. And so in that freak encounter, I learned a little bit more about him, and it just kept getting worse and worse as I was seeing the comments rolling in. I started digging further into Reddit. I had looked up there only on Facebook, and I started messaging some bands that had worked with Takeover Booking, like trying to get some more info. Turns out he was using the alias Alex Martin under that agency, scamming touring bands, not paying them or not paying them what they were guaranteed, scamming locals to book shows for his own band. And he was using Alex Martin, and the way I ended up catching him there was I went to their Twitter, Takeover Booking, and I saw another post that was, check out our personal accounts, and there he was again, Josh Roa, right on Twitter, and some other girl who I presume was his girlfriend at the time. So that's Alex Martin. That's also Josh Alejandro and Josh Roa Martinez, as he actually goes by. Found out he plays electric guitar for a church worship team, which that didn't make me feel very good.
So is that kind of like the culmination of all your research then?
Yeah, there's so many stories that people have told me. You can find the post pretty easily. I'm sure if you search his name now, it just like shows up in posts everywhere about him. Turns out he's been doing this at least since 2011. His band Page Nine has been around since 2006. Just now you're going to burn all of your bridges. Like, you had something that you could have really had a good go with, and this is the way you chose to either, I don't know if he's using it to fund his band or what, pay for Facebook likes or... It was sad for me to see that this is the way he decided to do business when he really had something that he could have done the right way and probably been successful.
So what does he get out of booking a concert at Stamps and then just no-showing? Is that just fucking everyone else over? Like does he actually, is there anything he gets?
So I'm thinking that if it had gone well, say this guy Claude had sold a bunch of tickets, then maybe he would have made some money off of these ticket sales. And maybe some of the shows he books, they do make money. But also, I'm under the impression that he signs up artists for like multiple city contract deals, like tour booking, and he does it at the expense of the locals, which he requires to sell tickets. As I found out, he was asking them to sell 25 tickets apiece for Stamps on a Sunday night.
Awesome. So yeah, so I think the lesson here is be vigilant. Don't book with people you don't know. If you see someone like that, ask around. You might hear something from some of the local people. And you know what? There's a lot of really awesome people in Buffalo booking shows. So book with them instead. But yeah, so Cam, thanks for coming on. And folks, if you're listening to this podcast and if this guy's done anything to you or if someone else has conned you, let us know, because I want to talk about that shit, because... that really is the eternal struggle being real is, you know, it's hard enough as it is without people trying to kind of subvert everything that's happening. So if you see something like this happening, send Uncle Ryan a message. He'll come on here and he'll yell about it for a while. So, Cam, thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll hear again from you soon.
This is RJ from Fernway, and you're listening to allwny.com.
Once the world was dark. People had no idea when concerts would happen. But then, alas, the people prayed to the gods, and the gods in kind created Ryan... Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
I have low self-esteem.
Yeah, you look like you would.
All right. Upcoming shows, everybody. So, on December 5th, Rubble Bucket is playing Babeville. I had not heard of them previously.
It sounds like a made-up band name, like Mouse Rat.
Yeah, it sounds like that'd be like a band on Daria. Rubble Bucket's most recent album, Sun Machine, is really interesting. Prior to the recording of the album, the two members of the band who were married, Kalmia and Alex, they divorced. Sort of. They, quote-unquote, uncoupled. And it was complete with a ceremony that involved, like, matching tattoos. And listening to their music, it almost seems like it's kind of reinvigorating them. And the album that kind of came out of this is just, it's great. It's a really good album. It's a breakup record, but it's still, but you can feel the love. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like a party album, but like there's also a lot of mindfulness in the vocals and the way it's treated. And it's worth checking out. The opening act is And the Kids. Who I checked out, they're pretty good too. So if you're looking for something a little different, kind of dream poppy, dancey kind of stuff, Rubble Bucket at Babeville is a good thing to check out. Will, I think you have something exciting to tell us.
So an upcoming show, unfortunately it's not a local show, but an upcoming show that I will be attending. As many music fans know, summertime of last year, May, I believe it was, of 2017, we lost Chris Cornell in a unfortunate suicide, and found out pretty recently that they are putting on a tribute concert, one night only, one time only. This is not a touring act, at the Forum, which is a Coliseum in Los Angeles. And I will be going because I was somehow able to amazingly get tickets to this one-time event. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of information about exactly what will be happening at this event, but this is what I know so far. The event is hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. It's in L.A., so it's pretty much Tinseltown for anyone in the world who could show up. It is going to feature all of Chris Cornell's previous bands. So you're going to have members from Soundgarden there, you're going to have members from Temple of the Dog there, and you're going to have members from Audioslave there. Now, I don't know if each of these bands is going to be playing a selection of songs from those musical acts. I'm guessing that's what it's going to be, and they're probably going to have some sort of guest singer do the vocals on each one of these bands. Also performing will be Metallica, Ryan Adams, and the Foo Fighters. Once I said this, so one night only, I got to imagine because Temple of the Dog is going to be there, and Temple of the Dog is half Soundgarden, half Pearl Jam members, I have to assume that probably Eddie Vedder is going to show up and sing his part of Hunger Strike. I've got to imagine.
I'd be surprised if Eddie Vedder didn't sing a couple songs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know who else could and would sing these other songs. I have this feeling like Ryan Adams is going to handle most of the Chris Cornell solo stuff. I don't know why. I feel like what else would he really be doing there? And he would make a good fit for that, I think. So I'm excited about it. And that is January 16th. So I will certainly come back with a report about that. But that's just a crazy once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that I'm lucky enough to go to because I happen to be in L.A. that week anyway. And I just kind of threw this on top of the already exciting trip that I'm going to be having there. So, yeah.
And for anyone interested, it is a 37-hour drive from where we are right now to the LA Forum.
That's why I'm flying.
So if you're interested in checking it out, just start driving now, and you'll get there by January.
So what's another local show, Ryan?
So I got two more to talk about. On December 9th at Mohawk, we are having an all WNY Ska Christmas with Toy Box Brigade, who we covered at Warped Tour. They're a lot of fun. They're just active and energy filled, and a bunch of good guys, and they're fun to see. We have local ska punk sticker celebrities, Reggie Childs, which might raise the question, is there any other sticker you see more in Buffalo than Reggie Childs stickers? I don't know about you guys. I see that in every bathroom at every bar. There's like 80 Reggie Childs. No,
I don't even know who you're talking about. I'm sorry.
God, that's the only reason I know Reggie Childs is because I've seen stickers.
No.
Well, fine.
I don't really pay attention to that many. Like,
no, and plus in bathrooms, I kind of keep my eyes on my own work.
When I don't notice, like when there's a wall of stickers, I only notice the bands I already know. So like Reggie Childs isn't a name that sticks in my head. If it was like,
what's your example? I can't wait to
hear
this.
If it was like Toxic Taint or something, I might remember it.
Oh, good old Toxic Taint.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, all right. Well, that just completely goes past my hypothesis.
Sorry.
The third band is Days Ago. They are they're a reggae band. They kind of got this like punk attitude. I describe them as Sublime with less heroin, and I feel pretty good about that. The singer TJ's got that voice, Brad Noel voice that I don't even know how to aptly describe it aside from saying that it sounds like him. And the songwriting's really good. They had a song called Out Loud that was one of our nominees for Best Local Song of the Year. So you can go check them out. And then real quick, on December 18th, also at Mohawk, we have a punk show with friends of the podcast, Voice of Dissent. And they are opening for Doc Rotten, who's a fun old school punk band from Trenton, New Jersey. So that is what is coming to town, or is already in town and then playing for you, or is Will leaving town.
Awesome.
All right, and then why don't we listen to some Days Ago? So we're going to play Out Loud by Days Ago here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
I somehow found that I gotta speak up if I want to make a sound.
It's time to stop! No more!
And that is all we have for episode number 25. Join us on December 15th as we discuss Christmas music and Yuletide cheer as there is a 100% chance of snow. Meredith Snow!
Woo!
We'll be meeting with Buffalo's best music photographer, in my opinion, and we'll be talking about all the trials and travails of being a music photographer.
Check out AllWNY at allwny.com or by downloading the AllWNY app. There you can find the local music stream and its family of podcasts, including Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe podcast,
hosted by Karina DeFabio, and three small metalheads standing on each other's shoulders while wearing a giant trench coat.
And our personal favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn how to properly light your next photo session and how the camera you use might report back to the government. So don't say anything too ethnic.
You can find us at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast, We are on Twitter at SIRPodcastNY, and you can reach out to me on Twitter at Sir William Idle. That is all for us for this week. Being a musician is chaos. Please be kind. See you next time, and keep on struggling.